Hey, football fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
89% of business leaders say AI is a top priority. The right choice is crucial, which is why teams at one-third of Fortune 500 companies use Grammarly. Grammarly is the right AI assistant for your team. With top-tier security credentials and 15 years of experience in responsible AI, Grammarly is how companies like yours increase productivity while keeping data protected and private. See why 70,000 teams trust Grammarly at grammarly.com/enterprise.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Mead Musings podcast.
Here we open discussions on everyday hidden issues.
Like living with disabilities and dealing with illnesses. We also cover issues around conditions such as stroke, diabetes, autism, cancer, leukemia, and also living in abusive relationships. We focus on helping people see the light at the end of the tunnel.
This podcast is available on YouTube and your favorite podcast platform. Please subscribe.
Thanks for listening. Welcome to another episode of the Mead Musings podcast. And today, my guest is Catherine McCord. Catherine is based in Florida, right?
Yes, right. Yes, South Florida.
It's a lovely afternoon. So welcome to the Mead Musings podcast. Can you please tell us a bit about yourself and what you do? So,
Absolutely. And thank you so very much for having me. I'm excited about this. So my name is Catherine McCordish, and I am a people operations consultant in the United States. And actually, I do some work abroad as well, too. And what that is everything hiring to firing that has to do with people in the workplace. I also do a lot of speaking and teaching around neurodiversity and inclusion. And it's been an absolute pleasure. I've had the amazing opportunity to speak for UN delegates, other politicians, different companies and technology conferences, things like that. And it's really exciting work to be out there and helping the world become a better place.
Oh, that's brilliant. Amazing. Your work must take you places around the world.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Yes, it has. My favorite so far is Portugal. I'm very much in love with Portugal. But yeah,
I love the beaches.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. And I'm supposed to get to go to Dubai next year and a few other places. So yeah, I love the travel. Oh, yeah. All for work. Yeah. And so I love the travel aspect because I'm getting to see the world slowly but surely. So neurodiversity is a medically visible and or diagnosable difference in how the brain processes information and stimuli. Three categories. So you have medical neurodiversity, which that can be like cerebral palsy, multiple sclerosis, things like that, seizure disorders. That is one form. Then you have the learning and communication spectrum, which that's like your ADHD, dyslexia, dyspraxia, autism, these types of things. And then you have the mental health spectrum, which is obsessive compulsive, anxiety, these types of things, dissociative identity disorder. All of these things change how our brains process information. That's neurodiversity, then the three broad categories of medical, learning, communication, and then mental.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you so much. I mean, so much has been said about neurodiversity and people being neurotypical, and
Yes.
there's a growing population of employees who are identifying as neurotypical. So how does that fit into workplaces, especially with hiring and firing processes?
Right. So neurodiversity is a very broad, like I said, a very broad spectrum, right? You're looking at approximately a third of the population. But everybody else is born to the neurotypical. And it is very interesting because everything is so there's no one way to cater to neurodiversity, right? That because there's so many different people, it's such a very, very broad spectrum, just as there's no one way to cater to neurotypical people, because again, still varied experiences, communication styles. The most effective way to work with everybody is universal design, which is a common IT concept, simply means design it as broadly as possible with flexibility built in. So the same thing with hiring and managing people with neurodiversity in the workplace. Design broadly, right? Keep it very broad and leave room for flexibility. Be open to flexibility. And the way to do that is keep everything about the mission and let everything else be flexible. So if your mission is hiring somebody, that's the mission. How it gets done can be flexible. So if somebody needs varied meeting styles, different types of questions, an accommodation, it's no big deal. That's because it's not out of the flexible. So ask people what they need, how they like to do things, how they like to be interviewed, and keep it that simple. I mean, it really is, as long as you keep it mission focused.
I suppose that leads me to the question of inclusion, because I mean, being flexible means that you're inculcating a lot of other aspects into your hiring and firing. So how does that fit in into inclusion?
Oh, it is inclusion. It's inclusion incarnate because inclusion is about everyone not only being welcome, but being welcome as they are and being supported as they are, right? And so this is exactly what we're talking about is designing so that everyone has that experience. So for instance, when you expand universal workplace design past hiring into, let's say, employee relations and into HR design, right? So for instance, one of the things that I do is I teach my clients that instead of having set paid holidays, right? Because we're in a very multicultural country. You know, there's I think every culture you can imagine is here, right? And so just about. And so I teach them don't have set holidays, have flexible holidays. So you're allowed 7 paid holidays. You choose what they are, for instance, you know, whatever number you want to use. But, and then because for instance,
Hey, football fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log in to your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250K. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Now taxes is 100% free when you file in the TurboTax app if you didn't file with us last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, just do your own taxes in the app by 218.
What if I have lots of forms?
All good, all 100% free.
What if I had 3 jobs?
Still 100% free.
What if I once saw Bigfoot?
That has nothing to do with taxes, so still 100% free.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Now this is taxes. See if you qualify in the TurboTax app. Excludes TurboTax Live. Must start and file in app by 218.
Somebody in the Jewish community may not particularly care about Christmas, you know, or somebody in the Muslim community may prefer to have Ramadan off as opposed to Easter, you know, and so making things flexible allows for inclusion. So that very keeping everything mission focused. And so if the mission is to give people paid holidays, keep it about that, not about the actual days. In employee relations, you know, the same type of thing applies. So keeping everything very broad scope, I also work with companies to keep accommodations as standard options. So unless it's something expensive, which is very rare, actually 54% of accommodations are free for the Department of Labor. So I teach them just have options, just, hey, whatever's going to make you comfortable, let's do that. Because we want you comfortable and healthy, because then you're more productive and more efficient, building in that flexibility.
Oh, yeah. I suppose being flexible also means that you can accommodate a lot of other cultures and religions. And, you know, like you said, in the case of holidays, somebody that is Jewish might not care about Christmas. Right. Someone that's a Muslim might not care about Christmas holidays. In a country like my country, where I originally come from, there's so many holidays because they accommodate the Muslims, they accommodate the Christians, they accommodate all sorts of holidays. And then at the end of the day, I feel like people in the European countries and in the Western world are actually working more. Yeah. Do we actually match that together?
It's interesting. No, you're right. So the first exposure I ever had to how very different holidays can be viewed was the first time that I worked with Russians, and I meet people actually in Russia, right? And their holiday seasons are long. Like the month of Christmas, there is no working, basically. And so it was a very different experience, right? I was like, how do you get things done? What is going on? You know? And so it was very unique. And what we did is we just found compromises. And I reminded them, you know, we're not expecting this type of thing. So let me know in advance what's going to happen so that we can, you know, reassign workloads, things like that. But I think also this is where there's another important aspect that I see as vital in the workplace that most workplaces do not utilize. And that's the concept of symbiotic work cells. So a symbiotic work cell is when you have several people come together to perform one body of work. So it's not one person's job. It's the job of three people, you know, three or, you know, however many people, but they come together and work on it. That way, if one is gone, the other two just keep it flowing naturally, right? And so when you have that built in, it's not such a burden for one person to be gone. So when you have a group that is different cultures, different backgrounds, different abilities, neurodiversity, whatever it is, right? When they come together like that, and then one person has a bad day, or one person needs to be off for medical reasons, or a person has a holiday that they want to, you know, use, or somebody's kid has a, you know, whatever, whatever things that kids are doing these days, then it's not a big deal, and the work just keeps going. So using those symbiotic work cells, it's a very antiquated idea that we need to have. This kind of thing hanging on from the Industrial Revolution. We all need to have our own workload, and that's the thing that we do, and that's it. And why? You know, why? Let's feed into each other's strengths. Let's build each other up. Let's teach each other, you know, and then let's all come together and get it done. That's the true definition of teamwork. So I think using symbiotic work cells kind of helps solve that problem as well. So I think it's communication. I think it's setting expectations. So like I said, you have a set number of holidays that you're allowed to take, and then, you know, go on from there, plus PTO. And then from there, symbiotic work cells.
Oh, amazing. Thank you so much. And since you talk about symbiotic workplaces, would that also be suitable for maximizing the skills that neurotypical employees bring into the workplace?
Yes. So for people with neurodiversity, it absolutely highlights that, because it gives them a chance to shine. And allowing people to work in ways that are natural and healthy. So it doesn't do any good to bring somebody into an organization. I see all these people, oh, we hire diversely. Okay, but you're not cultivating it. You're then, it's like taking a lion and going, oh, I've got this really great lion. And then you throw him into the ocean. It's like, well, swim, lion, swim, be a fish. You know, that's not how it works. You know, you have to let people thrive the way that they are. So by supporting them, by uplifting them, by offering the tools that are most effective for them, the styles that are most effective for them, you absolutely leave room for their strengths to shine. Also, the symbiotic work cells do help with that as well, because people can take on the things where they really thrive and have somebody else help with the things with which they struggle. So for instance, the first symbiotic work cell I was part of, I was very young, and I I just hated those. I had these customers, and everybody does that's ever worked in a customer service industry, that would just go on and on and on and on. And they would say the same thing to you 50 times. And I just, my brain just goes nuts when people do that. But I was really good at, you know, getting through the tasks and managing complicated things. And so the guy that I was working with took the calls that frustrated me. I took the workload that he was completely behind him. He was just like weeks behind. Got it all caught up, kept it caught up, and we kept it going. We helped each other. We managed each other. So I think that you absolutely leave better room for people to shine. And when they're comfortable, more will come out as well. And I think it's also important to give people a career path and education opportunities and opportunities to grow, and not just into management, but to grow in what they do currently. Because there again, you can really unleash something special.
Oh, amazing. Thank you so much. Yeah, you've touched on so many things. Well, what I wanted to clarify from you is the neurotypical people and neurodiversity. Neurodiversity, are they the same thing, making use of neurodiversity in workplaces as well as hiring neurotypical people?
Oh, yeah. It's the same thing. All of it works for everybody. And that's kind of the cool thing. It's like, And I think, you know, I grew up in a true Southern home where true Southern accommodation. Like, you know, when you throw a party, every single human is considered. Like, that's just how I was brought up, right? And so to me, it seems like a natural common sense thing, right? To take care of everybody. But yeah, it does work. It's just like, you always see the example used of ramps, or not ramps, like the little dips in the sidewalk when you're going to go. That ended up helping everybody, not just people with wheelchairs, right? It helped mom with strollers, and it helps people pulling a cart. It helps people just to not trip, you know, just be able to walk up. And so universal design helps everybody, and accessible design helps everybody. And that's kind of the cool thing, is that when we're considerate of others, we end up getting helped too, which is really cool. So yeah, very much to touch on your point. Broad scope. What works for one will work for the other. It's just the specifics that are different for each person.
Oh, thank you so much. And in your experience as an entrepreneur and a business owner, what do you see that is unique worldwide in human resources practices?
Oh, gosh. Please. So some of the things that are most damaging, I think, that are very common, resumes. Resumes are terrible. And I don't, everybody knows it. What's so funny is that everyone knows it. Every HR person and recruiter that you talk to knows it. Everybody that's out there, like job searching, hates these things. Harvard even did a whole article about how terrible they are. LinkedIn's done articles about how terrible they are. And yet we all keep using them. And I'm like, why? If we all know that they stink, why are we still doing this? This is insanity, right? And so, I have actually designed and built alternatives to this. So, but resumes are terrible. Those have got to go. Like we've got to quit doing that. I don't even understand why we're still doing it. Another thing that's very interesting is that HR technology is, let me separate that. The applicant tracking system, which is what recruiters use to gather candidates and move candidates forward in the interview process, is so antiquated. It's basically the basic design of it has not changed since the 90s, which is ridiculous. We're just now starting to see the evolution, that true evolution in design of how these things work. And it's really funny to me. I'm like, what? Why did you guys wait so long? What's happening here? So there are some very backwards things, but what's really cool, what's really changing, what's really growing is that human resources people across the board are starting to realize that their job is more than compliance and, you know, dealing with problems, but that their job should actually have a proactive element, not just reactive, in terms of taking care of their humans. And I'm glad to see that trend growing exponentially. It's growing hands over feet. I'm very, very excited about that. I think it's really cool.
And being proactive, there's a question that I find on websites, which is so annoying. Do you consider yourself to have a disability? Half of the world has a disability these days. Questions, I think. I mean, is that a need to review those kind of questions in human resources?
So here's a helpful tip. A lot of people don't know this. So here in the United States, And this is true in some other countries as well, too. There are the government versions of those questions, which are typically collected for compliance, but nobody in HR actually sees them.
Exactly.
It goes into like the black hole of the abyss. It's only used for reporting.
They make it sound like they are actually using it to,
well, depends compliance on
for compliance purposes, for inclusion purposes, to be sure that they are being inclusive.
But here's the difference though. So there's the government version, right? Which nobody typically sees. It's like it just goes into for reporting and for whatever down the road. But there are versions now that you can tell which is which, because when it's government, it looks like it's from the government, right? Like it has all that crazy language and a very formal sounding, you know, and it's hilarious. And you can always tell which one is government. Then now there are companies that are asking and very bold, graphic, nosy, rude questions in the actual application. And those are things that they will see. So they're asking what your sexual orientation is.
Exactly.
How is that relevant?
How he prefers to be addressed.
Oh, that's typical. Yeah. Yeah. People are asking your pronouns.
The question is like, are you a he or she, or I mean, what's your pronoun?
And here's what I've had people ask me how I feel about that being an application. And here's my response. First of all, you never need to know something until it's relevant. And you don't need to know how someone is referred to until you're going to actually meet them. So it should not be in the application. If you want to ask somebody that at the time of interview, I think that's very appropriate. Even down to, I mean, for years, if you think about it, that concept's not new, because with a woman, you might ask, are you Miss or Mrs., right? And so I don't mind it in terms of at the time of interview, but why are you asking that in an application? How is that not discriminatory? Yeah. You know, how is that not setting you up for bias and for discrimination?
Exactly.
And even when it's not meant that way, it just puts things in your head, you know what I mean? And you just don't need that information. And the sexuality one, I can't even begin to understand why people think that's appropriate, or asking what your disability is. I can't. I don't even like in an application, you should not be asking what accommodations a person could need throughout the interview process. You don't need to know that. If they need something, do it like what I do is I have a list of accommodations, and then it has a fill in the blank. And when I send out the interview invitation, it is prominent. So they can tell me if they want something. I'm not being nosy. You just tell me what you need or don't, whatever works for you, but here you go. And that's, I think, how it needs to be done. This nosiness thing, that's going to go bad places. You cannot convince me. And I've had a few people try. You cannot convince me that that's not going to lead to additional biases and additional discrimination. And plus, it's just rude.
It is rude, I think. I mean, it's intrusive, it's biased. It's everything that is supposed to be against.
I do think that people are trying to track data as to, you know, inclusion and that. So here's what I tell people. If you want to track data and make sure that you're getting in diverse candidates and that diverse candidates are being sent through the process, you do it through anonymous collection of data. So when I designed the applicant tracking system that I did that was designed to be anti-bias, there was anonymous data collection and the candidate knew that it was anonymous. And so it was not assigned to their profile. It was sent to a general data pool so that then you could pull up, here are the candidates that we're getting. Here's who's making it to first interview. Here's who's making it to second interview. But it was completely anonymous. You don't need to know people's personal business.
Oh, thank you. And in your opinion, what are the adaptations that organizations have to make to accommodate more neurotypical people, autistic people, and then people with ADHD? How can they adapt workplace practices to make them feel included?
Be flexible, number one. Respond in curiosity. When somebody tells you that something's not working for them, that's a statement. That's not a question. So respond in curiosity. Figure out what it is and then be flexible with it. And you may not be able to change everything 100%, but you can be flexible and you have to take action. That's the part of psychological safety that's often missed. We get the receiving and the being polite and letting people feel safe to say things, but if you don't do anything about it, that breaks the trust, right? So taking that action, designing flexibly, designing more broadly, not making requests that are going to make it awkward for somebody to speak up. So for instance, this business of, we prefer that you have camera on, but it's okay if you have it off. What you're telling me is that that's your second tier choice. And if I don't have camera on, I'm going to be viewed in the second tier. And so that's got to stop. It's just got to be, come to this meeting, period. And I just want to remind everybody to like, stop freaking out about this camera business. That's new. I remember the days of all of us crowding around one phone for a teleconference. Like, and we all did business. So like, calm down. We don't need cameras on. That literally makes no sense. Yeah. So things like that, don't make the other options seem second tier. Make everything just, these are the things, just again, mission driven, right? If we're going to have a meeting, the thing is that you come to the meeting and participate. If we are designing a widget together, the thing is designing the widget. It doesn't really matter all the other pieces. So being extremely flexible, responding in curiosity, and then making sure that you do have the standard accommodations set up, because number one, it's putting your money where your mouth is, right? It's showing people that you're inclusive, not just saying it. Because a lot of people say it, but they don't actually practice it. Yeah. So it's showing inclusion. And then it also gives people a chance to take care of themselves. And a lot of times people have been taught not to take care of themselves very specifically. And so they may not even know what they need. So by having these lists, and anybody who's listening to this who wants it can reach out to me and I'll provide you with a list. By providing that list, you're supporting them in learning to take care of themselves. But what better gift is there that you can give to people than helping to learn themselves and learn to take care of themselves and to embrace them as they truly are, and let them unleash their potential that way. And then science, and you can look this up with PLOS Genetics, Johns Hopkins, National Institute of Health, National Library of Medicine, the list goes on and on. Neurodivergent people have remarkable gifts. And yes, there is some disability. A lot of it's actually societal, not medical so much, but they have extraordinary gifts too, because the body and brain are designed to balance out. So where somebody may, for instance, have trouble focusing or have trouble reading, then they may have 3D model thinking or the ability to hyperanalyze or creativity, innovation. And so you want these humans, but you need to let them work in ways that are natural. So that's the thing, is just supporting people as they are.
Oh, thank you so much. And one last thing is, you've talked about flexibility and adapting your business to suit the needs of the employees. I'm also thinking remote working, is it? Has it come to stay? Because right now, I don't think a lot of companies or organizations are seeing people who are willing to go back to the way work was pre-COVID.
So. And actually what's cool is remote work helps you accommodate people, because people will just accommodate themselves. If they're at home, they're just going to accommodate themselves. So it makes your job way easier, first of all. And yes, it actually is an accommodation. And when one thing that's kind of interesting that I think has not been talked about enough is that when people are allowed to build their work into their life seamlessly, right? It's not something that they necessarily feel the need to escape from, right? It's like, oh, you know, after dinner, I'm just going to hop on and answer these emails, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm going to take an hour and a half lunch. And blah, you know. And when people can be treated as adults as much as possible, now, obviously there's some jobs like nurses or something like that where you can't do this, but as much as possible, allowing people to build their work into their own lives makes it more comfortable, allows them to work at a higher function, but also it prevents the need for so much escape, right? They're not like champing at the bit to get away from it. They're just used to work. It's just part of their daily routine. It's no big deal. And I think that that's something that we need to be embracing a little bit more.
Oh, thank you so much. And I think, I mean, there's an organization that has always been practicing remote working, flexible working, and a combination of the two. And they find that people are more productive when they work at their own pace.
Yes.
So that's something that I think organizations should actually consider as well, that
100%.
Yes, yeah, 100%. People give more. They sit at their desk. I mean, you might say they are working from home. They're supposed to be there. I mean, if they're working from the office, they're only there maybe 9 to 5, 10 hours a day, 9 hours a day, 8 hours a day, or whatever contracted hours are. But when they're working remotely, they have a deadline that they have to meet, and they want to meet that deadline, and they might not even take a break. They might just not be able to take a break during the day, just focus on the work and the deadline they have to meet. So that's really something that I think organizations should look into as well.
And I agree.
Employees should also learn to take, I mean, self-care is so important. Sometimes you're working, and then because you have a deadline to meet, you're just not even taking a break. Like, people should be taking break at least every 2 hours or so, you know, get away from the computer, you know, take 15 minutes and come back and you feel refreshed, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I try to take a break every hour for at least 5 minutes.
Yeah. And thank you so much. And what's your organization called and where can listeners find you?
I forgot to say that at the beginning. So my company's name is Titan Management, and it's titanmanagementusa.com is the website. You can also find me at my speaker site, which is kmccordspeaking.com. I'm also all over LinkedIn. So you can always reach out to me even for personal matters. I often have people that want to ask questions about neurodiversity in terms of themselves or their loved one. I welcome those conversations as well. And so you can find me, Catherine McCord, on LinkedIn. And thank you so very much for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Oh, you're so welcome. I've enjoyed this conversation. I mean, time has run out, but it's been an amazing conversation. And we started with neurotypical people, workplaces, and all the practices.
Yeah, we kind of went through the full gamut of operations.
It's a whole lot of conversation that needs to be had in between. And I hope that we'll be able to have more of that in the future.
Absolutely. Same. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. So this podcast is going to be broadcast on all podcast platforms. So please subscribe and share with loved ones. We want to keep spreading the word about its disabilities and anything at all that affects mental health, anything at all that affects anybody. So please come and have a conversation with us. Thank you so much and hope to hear from you soon.
A big thank you to all our listeners who have been sending us messages through the message link. I would like to thank everyone who has listened in so far and contributed to this podcast. Thank you so much. We couldn't have done anything without you. Keep listening, keep sharing, keep downloading, and keep liking. Thank you again.
Hey, football fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
89% of business leaders say AI is a top priority. The right choice is crucial, which is why teams at one-third of Fortune 500 companies use Grammarly. Grammarly is the right AI assistant for your team. With top-tier security credentials and 15 years of experience in responsible AI, Grammarly is how companies like yours increase productivity while keeping data protected and private. See why 70,000 teams trust Grammarly at grammarly.com/enterprise.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Hey there, Ryan Reynolds here. It's a new year, and you know what that means. No, not the diet. Resolutions. a way for us all to try and do a little bit better than we did last year. And my resolution, unlike Big Wireless, is to not be a raging and raise the price of wireless on you every chance I get. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited. See mintmobile.com for details.